Hi, I'm Joseph McClendon III, and welcome to the Cure for the Common Life podcast. Listen, you know as well as I do that motivation, empowerment, and inspirational stories, they're all well and good, but that's not what keeps us going. That's not what's going to change your life, and that's not what's going to move the needle in your health, your wealth, your happiness, your abundance, or your ability to be able to help other people and make a difference. What keeps us going, what produces results in our lives is activity. Not action, activity. And when you can get yourself past the things that stop you and hold you back, that's when you'll thrive, and that's when you'll crush it. And I humbly offer you these tools and strategies to kick your own ass and make the changes so that you can thrive. But most of all, I'm going to give you something every single time that you can do to create a change in yourself. Life is exactly what you dare to make it, and fortune favors the bold, baby. So if you're ready, let's bold. Hey, what's good? What's good? It's me, Joseph McClendon III, and welcome to The Cure for the Common Life, where our outcome is to always bring you the best of the best to help you go further, faster in your life and whatever it is that you do. And today, that person is going to be me. Usually I would interview somebody else, but I'm going to talk today. And the reason it's going to be me today is I have chosen to talk about something that, quite honestly, is a hot topic. And I don't mean a hot topic like it's that popular. It is popular. I mean a hot topic like a hot potato topic, like a lot of people steer clear of it. And part of the reason they steer clear of it is because of the unintended, often, consequences that come along from talking about it. And the topic today is going to be gender relations and things like toxic masculinity and all the things that go along with this. And I'm going to first start off by saying this, and this is kind of my pre-frame slash disclaimer. And you'll understand why I'm doing this here in a moment. And that is this, I want to make it really clear that most of what I'm going to talk about today is just my opinion. It is just my feelings on this, if you will. Yeah, we did some research, and some of the things that we researched are some of the experiences that people have had and things that are going on in this day to day. But please take this with a grain of salt at the very least, and you have every single right to disagree. And if you do, that's okay. I just encourage you to have an open mind. And if you disagree with my opinion and you want to voice yours, that's fine. You can do it on your own podcast or you can do it, you know, you can make your comments here, that kind of thing. And also we're here, I'm here to learn and grow as well, because I'm not here to say that everything that I've got to say is the end all and be all, and or that these facts are the only ones that there are. There are certainly other ones as well. So again, these are my opinions based on my experience that I've had, you know, my experience myself, my experience with research, and my experience with other people as well. And I'm going to start off by saying this. And again, let me back up for a second. As a physician, we are required to take what's called a Hippocratic Oath. And there's many elements to the oath, but one of those things is, and this is kind of the standard for medicine or treatment and things like that. And one of the first things is to first do no harm. Now, I personally think that that should be one of the code of ethics as for us as human beings, but to first do no harm. And so my outcome in all of this is to not just do no harm, but at least bring something to the forefront that people can think about and maybe do something about, and we treat each other differently. So it's not doing any harm. It's actually doing good for other people as well. So hopefully from this, as usual for me, my outcome is to help you be kinder to one another, to be more understanding of others, what their experiences, and be more compassionate and have more passion for other people as well. And so I'm going to start off by saying this, that it is no secret that, and we're going to talk about toxic masculinity, what that is and where things are right now. And, and you know, I got a message today when I was talking to somebody about what I was going to be doing this. And they said, okay, well, what about toxic femininity? And that's a whole nother podcast. We'll talk about that as well. But part of the reason why this is such a hot topic is because it's no secret that there is, and has been for many, many years, a lack of male influence to young men. And it's been that way for many, many years. And when you look at oftentimes, more than ever right now, young men are being raised by their mothers, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. And again, you're going to help me. You're going to catch me qualifying my statements a lot, because I want to make sure that I don't do any harm and that I'm not throwing any shade on anybody. It's just that truth is, the fact of the matter is that a lot of boys are being raised without a father figure in the house or around them. And therefore, they get that father figure other places, because if they don't find it, they're going to find it other places. And some of those places are when they go to schools. Most young boys go to school. And again, I'm talking about males now. And obviously, there's a whole lot to say about women and females and young girls as well. As a matter of fact, maybe even more. But this particular subject is the effect of toxic masculinity and about young boys and about men. And so there is a lack of male influence in the world right now, and different things are being taught to or not being taught to children as well. And I'll give you an example. Now, I'm old enough to remember that in high school we had things like metal shop, and we had things like wood shop, and we had things like auto shop and things like that. It was different. And I was fortunate. I was raised with a father who was military. And this guy, he would probably fit the description of toxic masculinity now, because men in the olden days were taught that emotion was weak, and that you're weaker if you have emotion. Big boys don't cry, and so on and so forth. And we were taught that, we have to be the strong ones, and that we have to be this. But the truth of the matter is, there are some, let's just say, characteristics of what it means to be a man. I want to back up for a second and just say science speak for a moment. Your sex are the biological parts that make you a man or a woman. Whatever parts you've got, that's what makes you a man or woman. That's the sex that you are. Now, obviously, just by the fact that there are what they call hermaphrodites in the world, which have both set of genitalia, it means that there's, in my opinion, that there's definitely some have more. Even a young boy who has all the boy parts may have more femininity in him than another. It doesn't mean that just because you have the parts, it doesn't mean that you're definitely guaranteed to be masculine or feminine, or attracted to the opposite sex or attracted to the same sex. Your gender, however, is how you identify yourself based on social constructions. Things like, girls wear pink and boys wear blue. Girls like kitty cats and boys like dogs and things like that. But there's nothing biological about that. That's just social construct, and that's just what society says things are. But how you identify yourself, that is your gender. That is somebody's gender. And there's so much, even in the politics and so on and so forth, about what that means and, what we should do and what we should allow. And becoming more fluid in gender and sexual orientation and gender orientation appears to be the spectrum right now. And what that means is that it's in the forefront. And maybe it should be, because, we recognize, and people's rights are people's rights. We all have certain inalienable rights that should be respected. And, as human beings go through this life. So we have to, in this day and age, we should adjust to those things and have an open mind about things, as far as I'm concerned. And we've progressed to the realm in recent years and have created potential problems. And that's what I mean, going back on some of the things I was talking about before, that young boys are being taught a lot of things that they weren't taught before. And I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm just saying that along with some of those things, there can be some consequences, some unforeseen consequences. And now they're seeing consequences that we have to deal with right now. Young boys, masculine males, are concerned about their role that they have and how they're supposed to act, how to treat a woman, how to treat the feelings that they have. Individual expectations and perceptions play into this in a way that's never been before. You've been conditioned. People have been conditioned to believe and accept and feel that it's coming under attack, but it's really just challenging those conceptions that have been set up in the past. And I'm inviting you to expand your awareness, compassion, and love for other people as well. And here's what I mean by that. Toxic masculinity. You know, it's the bro or the jock versus the simp, you know, the to resist being masculine and to fear both offending others and lack of sensitivity. You know, those things, it's confusing for young boys. They don't know how to act. You know, I have a 15-year-old son, and my son, when he went to his very first prom, and he came to me and he said, "Hey, Dad, you know," and actually the truth of the matter is I actually had to pry it out of him. But when he did, he finally came back and I said, "Listen, you know, have you asked her to the prom yet?" Because he wanted to ask a girl to prom. And he goes, "No, not yet." Now, by the way, I'm not sitting here saying that I was a perfect kid and I knew what to do, because I wasn't. And I told him, I said, "Look, you know, you've got to ask her." And he didn't really know how. So I sat him down and I said, "Yeah, you know, here's what I want you to do. First off, are you talking to her?" Because nowadays, you know, there's, again, as a young boy, we all go through it. We're afraid of rejection, just like everybody else. But it seemed to be so, so prominent now. And in talking to him, I realized that it's all over the place, because these young boys are not necessarily taught how to interact with young girls. And they're afraid to bring up their emotions and so on and so forth, because they don't want to seem weak or stupid. And that's, you know, kind of across the line. So I said to him, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, first off, have a conversation with her, talk to her. Now, we might think that that's obvious and everything, because, you know, in high school, they go, "I wonder if she likes me, or I don't want her to know if I like this," and everything. I said, "You got to interact with her." He says, "Well, we text." And I go, "No, that's a whole different thing. What I want you to do is, you know, you can ask her if you can sit down and talk, you know, ask her certain things like, you know, what is she like? What does she like to do and everything? Don't necessarily ask her to the prom, but just start to talk to her. Give it this week and do that." And he said, "Okay." And that's what he did. He went out and he talked to her for a little bit. And they had talked a little bit in the past. When I asked, he said, "No, we don't talk much." And then after a week went by, he goes, "Okay, so what's next?" And I said, "Here's what you do. Ask her, is she going to the prom?" And he said, "Well, what if she says no?" And I said, if she says no, then you go, "Well, it's interesting. I haven't decided if I'm going yet either." And then walk away from it, leave it alone. And he said, "But Dad," you know, and I go, "Just do it, you know, just try it out, just do it." And so he did, he asked her, and he said, "Well, she didn't ask if I'm going." And I said, "That's okay." And in the next couple of days, I said, "I want you to go back and I want you to say to her, I want you to ask her, tell her, I would like to take you to the prom, will you go with me? Don't ask if she's going again, just tell her, I would like to take you to prom, will you go with me?" And you could tell he was real nervous and real scared to do that. And so he did. He went and asked her that, and he came back, and it was actually pretty comical, because when I pick him up from school every day, he's like Mr. Cool, because he's 15 years old. He gets in the car, and I'm just dying inside to ask him, "Well, what happened?" But I wanted to give him his time. And finally he spoke up and he said, "Well, so I asked her, and she said yes," and got this big smile on his face. I said, "Okay, so here's what we're going to do." And I said, "Yeah, what we're going to do is," and by the way, the parents had to show up at this particular thing because of COVID and everything. And I said, "I'm going to leave you on your own. I'm going to take you there, but I'm not going to be with you. I'm not going to be there to chaperone. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to wait until things get going, and then I'm up out of there. I'm not going to be, you know, that guy that's hovering over you." And so I said to him, "Here's what you do. We're going to go get her a corsage. It goes on her wrist. And here's what you do. You take the corsage, and it's in this plastic box, you know, that she can see. And as soon as you see her, as soon as she comes," we showed up early, "as soon as she comes, I want you to get up and I want you to go to her." And he goes, "Why?" And I go, "Just trust me, just go to her. And when you get there, I want you to look her in the eyes, and I want you to tell her, she looks really nice today, and thank you for coming." And he says, "Okay." And then I said, "I want you to tell her, I got you a corsage, and then I want you to open the box, and I want you to put it on her, take her hand and put it on her. And then I want you to, you can't see me right now, present your arm, like hold your arm out like that, for her to put her arm on yours. Now, my son is almost 6 feet tall now, and this young lady that he chose is maybe 4'6", 4'7", so she's pretty short. And it was adorable. I wish I would have videoed it, but I didn't want to interrupt his space. And so that's what he did. He went out and did that, and you watch the whole thing come down. Now, why am I telling you all of this? Because guess where I learned that stuff? From my dad. Guess where I learned that stuff? Was from another man who taught me how to treat a woman, who taught me to get out of my own way, who taught me to be brave. And by the way, as I look at even young men now, and I say young men now, even in their 40s, most guys can't change a flat tire. They can't fix things. You know, in my garage, and I'm not using myself as some shining example of the way that things should be, but in my garage, I got a workshop. I work on motorcycles. I build cars and all those things. I love that kind of stuff. Most of my friends, like I said, can't change a tire, couldn't fix something electrical if they had to. And the reason being, in my opinion, was those things have been taken away from young boys. They're not being taught those things. And the ones that are being taught those things, quite honestly, they are, to a certain extent, I shouldn't say this. One of my pet peeves is that if you just follow the basic laws of integrity and tenacity and joyfulness and being kind to people, then you'll do the right thing. And that is my suggestion in the end of this. That's what I'm going to say, is the end of all this stuff. You know, here at the Cure for Common Life, if you go back and you look at the last episode, the several of the episodes in the past, and I'm going to do it today as well. I'm going to give you something that you can do, especially if you have a young boy in your life or whatever, that you can do, that you can help them get out of their own way. When I say get out of their own way, get out of their own fear. Get out of their own fear. You know, we think about toxic masculinity, you know, it's all over, you know, when I researched some of the stuff, they talk about toxic masculinity, these guys that are just like macho men and just like, get out of my way, and my way or the highway, and do this, that is that kind. That's not, that may be toxic masculinity, but that's not what masculinity means. We as men are designed to protect and provide. And we are designed to care. And yes, things have changed. And yes, our emotions are we're allowed to have emotions up front. And we're allowed to acknowledge other people's emotions as well. We're allowed to show our weaknesses. We're allowed to have something, to think of something softly and warmly and things like that. Those are all of the colors of being a human being, not just being a man. But being afraid to do something or say something because you're afraid that you might be judged by people and so on and so forth, if you know it's the right thing. You know, there's so many things, and this is where I could get myself in hot water as well, where the line has been blurred with regard to how to approach a woman versus what is sexual harassment. The line has been blurred with regard to how to be a man and what is, again, toxic masculinity. But the truth of the matter is, I believe with all of my heart that if we all look inside of ourselves and just say, who am I and what do I want to do and how do I want to treat people? And then allow ourselves to do the work on ourselves, to get ourselves over the fears. There's nothing wrong with approaching a woman and just saying, hi, how are you doing? My name is Joseph. You know, I saw you over there and you looked interesting. And I thought I might come over and introduce myself to you. Boys and men are afraid to do that. In the workplace, people are afraid to talk to each other, to do the things that they used to. And it is because, yeah, a few bad apples have spoiled the bunch, so to speak. But unfortunately, as I said before, there are some, let's just say, unexpected and unwanted consequences that have come from that as well. And it's gone way overboard. Now, I'm not as passionate about this as I am on a lot of subjects right now that I have in the past, but boys need help understanding how to become a man and what are the proper influences that they need. And so that would be my suggestion, if you will. If you have a man in your life or young men in your life, have the conversation with them. Ask them, what does it mean to be a man? Because most people can't really describe what that is. And if they do, they make it up. You know, to have them ask them, because listen, if I tell you, you might believe me. And if you tell them, they might believe you. But if they tell you and you work it out, and you can ask your young boys, you'd be around your young boys. And I would encourage you to put your boys in affinity groups, Boy Scouts and our ROTC and things like that, where they're around positive male figures. And I know it's much, much harder now because we got COVID and everything is digital, but it's still possible. It's still absolutely possible to have that type of male influence. And you know, if I'm talking to you and you're a parent, then, you know, think about that for your child. If you're a man and you don't feel like that you're qualified to do that, then listen, go get some help. Go listen, you know, go and you look at what you believe is a good man, what a good man does. And so I'm going to give you five things that the most masculine man in my life that ever was, for good, for better, for worse, for good or for bad, that taught me, and they've served me throughout my life and have made it so that, and I believe, and you may have a different opinion, I believe that I'm a good man. I believe that because I'm a good man, I'm able to protect and serve and care and make a difference in people's lives and do all of the things that are, let's just say, ethical and respectable in this world, not just by society's standards, but by my own standards as well. And again, it doesn't matter how you identify yourself. I want you to understand what a man is. And I'm not asking you to toss out the window the whole concept or the whole conversation about toxic masculinity. I just want you to you know, for a moment, take your eye off of that and look at what we want. First, do no harm. And the first thing about doing no harm is to look at what you want. Look at what you want. So grab a pad and paper, and I want you to write these things down. And these are the things that I'm going to tell you my dad taught me. And as I said, as I've come through life and I've used these for myself, and I've also started to recognize that the people that I respect and that I consider to be a good man, and you see if this isn't true with them as well, follow these five tenets, if you will. The first one is integrity. Integrity. Now, before you come out of your skin and go, okay, well, that's truthfulness. And no, let me give you what my definition of integrity is and what my dad's definition of integrity is. And by the way, if you don't have a dad, if you didn't have a father, borrow mine. I'll tell you how here in a moment. But integrity, my dad used to say, integrity means do what you say you're going to do. Do what you're said you're going to do. If you tell somebody that you're going to be there at 5 o'clock, be there at 5 o'clock. That's responsibility as well. If you say that you're going to get up early in the morning and go do this, then get up early in the morning and go do that. Your promises and the words that you speak to other people and what you speak to yourself. Dad used to say, your word is your bond. And what that means is that you are bonded to whatever you said that you're going to do. That is integrity. Have integrity. Practice it. Rehearse it. Secondly, tenacity. Tenacity. These are the qualities of a man. Tenacity. Tenacity means continue to do what you said you're going to do. Not just once, not just twice to say that I did that before, but to continue to do it, to continue to live your life that way. Look for different things, rituals that you have, things that you do, the way that you treat people. Continue to do what you said you're going to do. That's tenacity. Integrity and tenacity. That's the top of the list. The third thing is have energy. Have energy. And what that means is to go through life as optimistic as you possibly can. Why? Because when you're optimistic, you breathe differently, you walk differently, you move differently, and your body, every cell in your body produces more electricity, produces more energy. That type of radiation of energy that goes out and goes into people, that's what that male energy that you give off. And by the way, if you're a woman, you do the same thing. These same things apply to being a woman as well, but you do it as a woman, from a woman's aspect as well. But I digress. Let me go back to men, okay? Energy. Have the energy. Go through life with your eyebrows out, being optimistic. Optimistic to me means having more options. More options. Look at the options. If you're pessimistic, you're always going to be in fight or flight. That's your sympathetic nervous system. And that means I'm either going to kick somebody's ass or I'm going to get the hell up out of here. It doesn't say anything about sticking around. It doesn't say anything about, you know, sticking it out and going through the hard stuff. It doesn't say anything about, yeah, when things are difficult, I'm going to do this because I got tenacity, because I got integrity. Have the energy to go through it. Next, and this might sound counterintuitive, but it's joy. Joy. To have joy. Find it, look for it, give it, make sure that you live the happiest life that you possibly can. You know, my dad, and again, I'm using him as just an example in my life, that I'm so thankful and grateful that he wasn't. By the way, my mom, you know, I'm only talking about my dad. My mom gave me taught me what it was like to be around women. I was going to almost said to what it was like to be a woman. No, she didn't. But she did taught me what it was like. And that's a whole nother, maybe we'll do another podcast on that, toxic femininity or what it means to be that. So I'm not saying my dad did everything, but I am saying that aspect of it, me as a man, having had that in my life. And again, if you didn't have a dad, if you didn't have male influence in your life, borrow mine or borrow me, if you will. Joyfulness. Look for joy. Find it. Smile as much as you possibly can. Be happy. My father would laugh so hard, tears would roll down his eyes. And just because he was laughing, he would make everybody else around him laugh and joyful. And if you've been around me at all, you know, I'm a pretty funny, fun guy, you know, and I like to have fun. Allow yourself to be joyful. You know, it's just, I look at young men nowadays, it's about being cool. Now, again, part of that's being a teenager, and that's understandable. But one of the things that I always say is, listen, don't be too cool to rule you. Be happy, be joyful, put a smile on your face, speak up, say hello to people. And the last thing is kindness. Kindness is not weakness. Kindness is strength. Be willing to step up and help somebody. Be compassionate to somebody. Give your time, your effort, even sometimes your money, your capital to help other people. Be kind to other people. You know, one of the earliest things, and I wrote it about in my book that I want you to have as well, was one of the earliest examples of that was, again, my father. We didn't have a lot of money. And this is when I was about 6 years old, one of my earliest memories. We were in North Dakota, one of the coldest places on the planet. It was in the middle of a blizzard. And we were coming home from somewhere, I forget where it was, and we had this old station wagon. You know, I had three sisters, so there were six people in the car. And we were driving somewhere, I forget where, or we were going home from somewhere that we'd gone. And there was a man broken down on the side of the road with his family. And so my dad and everybody else was passing him up. My dad stopped the car. Now, this was a different time again. My dad stopped the car, got out, and my dad always carried tools with him. That was what a man did in the olden days, and he knew how to use those tools. And he went out to help the guy, and the guy's car wasn't running. So he invited the guy and his family, his wife and a couple kids, to come sit in our car while they worked on his car. And they couldn't fix the guy's car. And my dad got back in the car and he said, well, we can't fix it, but we're gonna go to the parts store. It's freezing bite-ass cold outside. And my dad drove his family and our family to a parts store, bought whatever part it was, came back and helped the guy fix his car. And then that was it. And I remember my mom, you know, I remember, you know, us kids were like cold and things like that. And we're kids, you know, being little jerks the way kids are sometimes. But I remember my mom, I remember the look that she gave my mom, my dad in that moment. And it was like, that's why I married that guy. But she looked at him like, that's what a man does. Kindness, helping people. In my personal opinion, that's why you're on this planet. All of us are here to be kind, to help each other, to make a difference. And we do things like that, and guess what? We're going to make the world a better place. And so those are the five things. Those are the five things, in my opinion, that at the very least, you introduce those things into your life. Integrity, do what you say you're going to do. Tenacity, continue to do what you say you're going to do. Have the energy, be optimistic. Be joyful and be kind. Now, maybe this went in a different direction than you might have thought it was, because, you know, for me to talk about the statistics and all the things about toxic masculinity and so on and so forth. But this is kind of, if you think about it, this is where I want you. I'm practicing what I preach. Let's look for some solution in all of these things. All those other things, they certainly won't fall by the wayside, but they will find their way. People will find their way. You notice in that, by the way, when you're having integrity, when you're tenacious, when you're joyful, when you have energy, and when you are kind to other people, then guess what? we start to drop those judgments, and some of the hatred goes away, and some of the things that cause us to be uncomfortable in other people, and we start looking for better things in other people as well. Now, I fail to have a word for it, but the antithesis of toxic masculinity, that's what I'm talking about here. And so a couple of things. First off, I have the book where I outlined all of this stuff, by the way, where this came from is a book called Dare to Be Magnificent. And there's a link in the description here that you can go get your own book. And in it, again, it's not just how I roll. It's not just information. It's me telling you or showing you, giving you examples. And then there's exercises that you can do that to embed it into your nervous system as well. So I hope this has been helpful to you. And I'd love to hear back from you. I'd love to hear your opinion on what's going on as well, what's going on around. And so remember, like and subscribe. And the last thing, the only thing that I ask is that you share. And what I mean by that is I'm not looking for you to give me credit for anything. But if any of this touched your heart, then share it with other people as well. And remember this, that life is exactly what you dare to make it. And fortune favors the bold. And the trick to life is to always boldly step up and dare to make your life magnificent. I'm Joseph McClendon III. I've been the best host ever. And this has been Cure for the Common Life. And I will see you at the top. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Cure for the Common Life podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, please share it with a friend. And if you haven't already, subscribe, rate, and review it on your favorite podcast player. And if you have any questions or comments or any topic ideas you might want to be a guest on my show, you can reach me directly at josephmcclendon.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you at the top.